AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
In This League, hour two. It's Bogman, it's Welsh. A little short segment before we get back into week eight. But a couple things we didn't talk about, even though we got into the first game, the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game. Couple big stories that we can do just for a little tiny bit. We did see the very opening of the trade deadline start, and the Texans made a trade, and it was Mark Ingram going back to New Orleans, which is super weird because I thought maybe that didn't end weird, but it seemed kind of weird.
Well, he was trying to get more money than they wanted to get.
And he goes back. Kamara was excited. Brandon Cooks then openly tweeted like he was pissed about it because he's become the leader. And then a pseudo former Texans piece of news. Now Cardinal J.J. Watt, just maybe the most injured player in the NFL, tore everything and he's out for the season for the Cardinals, which is just like unbelievable. But he just constant with injuries. So which side do you got? Do you got a J.J. Watt outtake or do you got the first trade was Mark Ingram to the Saints?
Which do I like more or which do I want to talk about? Yeah, I mean, I hate that JJ Watt it got hurt. You know, it happens all the time. So I think, you know, anyone who's watched JJ Watt for his career kind of was waiting for the other shoe to drop and for, you know, him to be missing some time. They're going to make the playoffs, so he'll be back for that at least. But
yeah, we've got a three-month timeline, it looks like, right now.
I'm a big IDP guy, and it's so much fun watching J.J. Watt play. He's awesome. But, you know, I guess he drug around this shoulder thing for the whole second half last week and probably shouldn't have played then, could have potentially made it worse. So I guess it's not that surprising. Well, I'm sorry, I already forgot.
And then
what was
it was
the
just
other thing?
The Ingram trade The first shoe to drop was
Philip Lindsay.
Because we're recording this just a tiny bit before that. I assume no trades are going to happen like a Friday, Saturday, and they're probably going to happen right after Sunday, all the rest of the trades. That it's weird that that was the trade, but the Texans might slowly be making those pieces removed. And Brandon Cooks could be on the table.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, he had a weird cryptic tweet that said, this is BS. So get him out of there. Yeah, make the Texans all the way, take them all the way down to the bottom and then rebuild them.
Make them great again is what Bogman's saying. Let's make the Texans great again. That's exactly what he said. All right, let's go. I was going to do an impression of the cop, but then I just lost it. We'll be right back. Week eight, we're going to do all our picks. We've only done one, so they're all coming up right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting in.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
InThisLeague.com. You guys can support In This League today by going there, and that will just zip you on over to our Patreon. Patreon.com/ITLArmy. You can suit up and be a part of the crowd with us, and we would love to have you. We got different tiers. Even as low as $5, that'll get you the ranks, the IDP ranks. Bogman, one of the top dudes on Fantasy Pros, especially the last 3 weeks. My prop bet sheet, we've got prospect ranks. We've got an ADP for prospects coming up. If you want to upgrade a little bit more, you can hang out in the GroupMe rooms. Bunch of cool dudes in there with a bunch of different things from literal sport rooms to start and sit. We've even got a betting room. We've got collectors. It's a entire audio universe centered around our podcast, and you guys can be a part of it. Just go to InThisLeague.com. We'd appreciate if you do it today because that supports us, Bogman and the Welsh. It's the Bogman and the Welsh Patreon. Week 8 picks. We only did one game. It was on the last segment where we were doing the Pittsburgh-Cleveland one. And interestingly enough, maybe fading ourselves a little bit, we've been very favorite heavy this year. We both have started this off with +3.5 Pittsburgh at Cleveland, though we did not agree on the over-under, and you are the current leader of over-unders as you were 7-5 last week. So second game up, let's just jump right into it. Carolina at Atlanta. Atlanta is currently a 3.5-point favorite. 46.5 is the line. It's relatively split between, it's a little bit favored in Atlanta's side right now, but it's relatively split as far as where the money is, but the money is pretty heavy on the over. And Bugs, I'm going to jump on in this first here because I'm going to pivot a little bit and I'm going to just right out the gates take my second dog and I'm going to go +3.5 Carolina. And this is, it's a little embarrassing because you have accused me of being a closeted Panthers fan because I've been on their side. And last week's showing was not great and the wide receivers have not been great. But there's a couple things I think that are in play here. I still think Carolina as a whole, when the pieces are working, when the Pistons are all running and all the pieces are working together, they're without question a better team than Atlanta. Atlanta's offense, I think, is just better when it's clicking, but their defense is atrocious. Sam Darnold was benched last week, and I think that is a big motivating piece. He started the season off really good, slinging the ball. Not all of this can be blamed on him. With the amount of drops that he has he's dealt with over the last week, 2 weeks, as a matter of fact, I really, truly believe there's a conversation piece to be had because Sam Darnold is back in the lineup. I think it's motivating. This is not a defense that's going to stop them. DJ Moore has been quiet for a couple weeks. Robbie Anderson has dropped passes. I think they are going to rectify this. And I think Sam Darnold is going to be motivated. And this just isn't a defense that's going to stop any of the pieces here. Where Carolina's defense, I think, can do some slowing down of a higher powered offense with Atlanta. I just don't trust Atlanta at any stop. They don't blow any team out. So I'm also getting a hook here, which I think is important. I think Sam Darnold's motivated. I'm going to take Carolina +3.5. And I'm going to go with the over because I think under really any scenario, they've got to both score points. And I think they will. So I'm going to take another over and I'm going to take another dog. Carolina over.
I hate this game. I'll just say that there's a lot of games to hate. This is one of them this week.
I don't disagree with that. Sure.
Hate it. I hate this game so much. I'll take Atlanta because they're at home. What I particularly like for Carolina in this game is the pass rush against this offensive line for Atlanta. But I have zero trust in the Carolina offense right now. I feel like if Sam Darnold fumbles or throws a pick in the first half, they're going to go right back to PJ Walker. And I cannot handle that. That is so terrible. He was worse than Sam Darnold. And him going 3-for-14 is probably the only reason that Darnold is starting this week. Obviously CMC still out this week. Marshall questionable, Zylstra, they put on IR. Shaq Thompson still questionable in this game. Gilmore isn't going to play still. So for me, it's just There's no way I have any trust in Carolina at all. So I'll take Carolina. I'll go with the under in this game too, because I don't trust either side of these offenses right now.
Let me ask you something real quick. Did you pull these money numbers from that one specific place that we go to, or the other one? Okay. So that one other place that we both share, we'll find information from, some of their numbers right now.
Those numbers are old that I have on the site anyway.
Okay. Well, just saying this certain site that, you know, that looking at might be PFF that we take a look at. This looks like this has flipped, because the old numbers you had were exponentially in favor of the over. It actually, the cash is more favored on the under, and Atlanta, I guess, has about the same push. It's a lot bigger on the money line side, but it's now favored to the under. So there's a little bit more value on the over if you want to play that. So I just wanted to add that those dollars have changed just a tiny bit.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, stay away from this game. I'm not going to enjoy watching this game at all. Hopefully I won't see 2 minutes of it. So
yeah, I'm going to play I'm playing props more in this. I've got, as I typically kind of have, it's kind of been a trend for me. I've got a couple Atlanta guys in props here. The Kyle Pitts receptions might be a really good one, though. It's the juice isn't really fantastic. Miami at Buffalo is a huge line. Maybe the biggest of the week. I think it's tied for the biggest of the week. This is that thing where it's like you love these teams, and they threw that hook on you too. Buffalo minus 14.5. The over under is 48. A lot of the money is on Buffalo. The under currently has it as well. And I'm looking at, this is about the same. The numbers have actually gotten bigger. It is almost unanimous money on the spread. The only problem is this site that could be PFF is showing 14, and the line we're showing is 14.5. So that the half point is relatively important here for that hook.
And it'll move.
The amount of money is going to go.
I mean, we're recording on Thursday, and you won't hear this till Saturday or late Friday, most likely. So, you know, everything's going to move. Those cash numbers always move. But Buffalo is coming off of a bye. Miami looks bad right now. I don't see how this game goes any other way but Buffalo and the over. So for me, I think this is a stomping. I don't know how Tua can sit there and say that he feels wanted in Miami when it seems like the Dolphins are trying to trade him every other day. And they even have a deal in place, apparently, to get Deshaun Watson. How can he feel wanted? But look, I like the over because he threw 4 touchdowns last week. The guy's got to go out and put on a pretty good show here to get himself moved or wanted by a different team. I personally hope it's the Steelers. I hope they want him. I would love to take him after Ben is gone this year, but we'll see what happens. But I like the over here more than I like Buffalo, but I also like Buffalo and laying the points.
One of us is going to be probably really good on the over-unders, and one of us is going to be atrocious because this is the third one. I'm actually going to lay where the money side is a little bit, which is on the under. I'm also going to take Buffalo. I got a really hard time understanding Miami and what they're doing and who they're trying to be. Buffalo is a great defense and a great offense. You got a quarterback in Miami that is practically been told he's gone. I mean, there's open, you know, local people that are saying Miami doesn't want Tua. The trades are out there. Miami's not even out there just equivocally denying it or anything like that. And then they're going to play him this week. He literally could be traded the next day. I gotta be honest with you, I wouldn't even be shocked if like Sunday morning came and he was a scratch. And then we knew like, oh, it's because of a trade and Brissett was out there because there was some clarity maybe on the Deshaun Watson side. I just think Miami is between a rock and a hard place here. And Buffalo is not the matchup for them. I'm not saying this feels like that Houston 35-0 matchup, but I just, even though Tua has put up some points, I'm not sure where it's going to happen here. And I think Buffalo is going to put up 30. So, I mean, this might be 30-7. I'm going to go with the under because I don't trust Miami doing their portion of it, which is probably putting up at minimum 2 touchdowns. And it's probably going to have to be a little bit more. I don't trust on that side. But I do trust that Josh Allen is probably going to throw for 3 touchdowns. So a 2.5 touchdown prop is not too bad here. I love Zach Moss in this game as well. Don't go anywhere. Big slate coming up here. We've only gotten through those 2. We have got, 3 technically. We've got my Niner game. We've got Tennessee, Indianapolis. We've got Cincinnati, one of my favorite ones of the week. Jags, Seattle, and a whole bunch more right on the other side here in this league. Week 8 picks coming up after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt?
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. Thank you guys for tuning in and hanging out with us for a little bit. Find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Find all the chaos that we got going on at InThisLeague.com. We are making some picks. Checking them twice. Do you have... I was on... CBS crew was nice enough to have me on earlier in the week. It was Frank Stanfill and Scott White. We were talking prospects, AFL stuff. You guys can check it out on their baseball feed. And it was like really important for Frank to have like this conversation about movies, because I guess he gets crap about movies. And the question was, but I felt like he opened it up in two different directions. He was like, your favorite horror slash Halloween movies. And I can kind of see those differently. Because I'm a big horror fan. I watch lots of those. But if you pose a question, which was kind of implied, you know, what are the movies you watch on Halloween? I don't go and pick like movies that I've seen before that are horror movies. I'll find new ones to watch, but I don't have like, okay, gotta go watch this brand new one. The movies that I actually watch on Halloween are a lot more friendly. And my choices was Nightmare Before Christmas is a staple in my house. We watch it every single year. We watch it around Halloween and Christmas.
I try to watch it around Halloween. Yeah.
And then Hocus Pocus is another one of those that it's an old movie we grew up with.
Not the biggest Hocus Pocus fan, but
those are like my typical, and that's fine. But those are like the typical, like during Halloween to watch. So it's not like a horror movie. Do you have like a Halloween thing that you have to check in with?
Not really. I try to watch The Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't think I did it last year, but usually I like to watch it around Halloween every single year.
You know, it would be great because, now that I'm thinking about it.
Like in Arizona too, it's usually the first time of year where at night you can open up your windows with like the screen door. So I like to have the screen door open so it gets a little cool and watch Nightmare Before Christmas. But you know, you can't really open the windows in Houston, not because of the humidity or anything, because of damn mosquitoes. They're everywhere.
Well, it's been bad here too. But you know, what would be great is actually watching the entire collection of Brooklyn Nine-Nine Halloween episodes. Halloween heist is I would like to watch all of the Halloween heist together.
Dude, that'd be fun. You know what? We should maybe do that late Halloween night or something.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Those movies. That's Sunday night though. So
yeah. Yeah, but it's something to think of for the future. The Halloween heist would be something I would be willing to like make as a part of a tradition. But there needs to be like a setting on Hulu where I can only watch back to back to back Halloween heist. Just put it all in their little collection.
There is. They have him kind of choreographed all the Halloween movies, and then like Gina's picks. Like you can watch all the Gina centric episodes, and I think they have them separated by character too, so you can watch like the Rosa ones and all that stuff.
Okay, well,
so
there you go. Halloween heist. That's going to be on the docket for Halloween for us. That'll be the ITL tradition, Brooklyn Nine-Nine Halloween heist. All right, we're gonna pick back up into our picks. We are, I think, three picks in, so we're now at a very interesting game, and I did not realize this line has moved so much from +1 Tennessee to apparently you're telling me on FanDuel it's already -2, and God knows where it's going to be in favor of Tennessee. This game has moved all around. Indianapolis. I was looking at that wrong. It's now favored to Indianapolis -2. 50.5 is your over under. It is a little bit favor of Tennessee on the spread, and almost unanimous money as far as when you did this. Let me look now. on the under. It has definitely moved not unanimous, but it is still very much in favor of the under. And the line is, I think this might be the most divisive line across the board. If you just checked and FanDuel had it -2, a lot of other places have it -1.5 to -1. So the cash can differ as far as where it is.
It's definitely moved a ton for a small line.
Yeah, it's really
has bounced all over the place. I'm going to take the Colts in this game. I thought they showed a lot of strength beating the Niners last week. And I know the Niners, you know, especially if you're asking the Welsh, could be a little bit overrated by people, but everyone being excited about Tennessee beating Kansas City, I mean, that's a good win. It is. It's a very good win. This is the same team that lost to the Jets, though, right? So I'm not going to get super pumped up and excited about the Titans beating the Chiefs when they're at their lowest. That was a good win, but I'm not going to overvalue it, I guess, is my point here. And they've got a lot of guys not playing at 100%. Landry is questionable with the hamstring. So is Bud Dupree. So that eats into a lot of the pass rush. Julio hasn't been 100%. I expect him to be this week, but he's still listed as questionable. Hooker's been hurt with a groin. I mean, there's a lot of injuries on the Titans team. There's injuries on the Colts too. I mean, who knows if T.Y. Hilton's going to be in there. Paris Campbell just got hurt. They have some injuries in their secondary also. So I like the Colts at home here. And I think because both these defenses are a little bit overrated, we could see some scoring. So I'm going to take the Colts and I'm going to go over on this one.
I am going to go over. I actually was going to side on that under, but what's unique about it at 50.5 is I was thinking this feels very much like a 27-24 game in my eyes in favor of Tennessee, and that would be 51. That would be 51 points, which would just hit it. So I'm going to slap that over, even though, you know, considerable love is being put on the under. But I like Tennessee on this one for some of those opposite reasons. I wasn't overtly impressed with the Colts. I think the Niners also just played really bad. They were giving up yards to Elijah Mitchell, which they now have Derrick Henry. A.J. Brown was kind of back in action. You like Julio Jones this week. Ryan Tannehill looking in a little bit better form. Colts giving up some more yards in the air. And I think this is kind of a prime spot for, I think Tennessee, even though they've been a little bit inconsistent, they're one of the better inconsistent teams out there. And like
they
said,
play up and down.
Yeah, they do play up and down. And that's a worry that could happen here. This is a road game, but Derrick Henry is such a game changer. And I think the Colts are still trying to find their feet in all of it. So I'm going to take Tennessee. And especially in this case, and with this one, I'm getting 2 points. In other books, I'm probably maybe getting a point. I mean, I'll tell you straight up, I took Tennessee -1. So I would take money line earlier in the week. That was like one of the, like, I think it was like Sunday night or Monday morning. I took Tennessee -1 and has now moved in favor of the Colts. So I do like Tennessee on this one. Let's see, we're plenty on time, right? Yeah, we're good. Next game up. I skipped a game, by the way, in our order here. My San Francisco 49ers are at Chicago. The Niners are a 3.5 point road favorite, and the under, I believe, is the smallest of the week at 39.5, yet the money, as you did it, was still on the underside and heavily favored on San Francisco's side. The money I see, it's a little convoluted because the line actually shows 4 that it had moved to. So again, depending where you get the pieces, and it's still a little bit in favor of the under. So San Francisco and the under seems to be the play regardless of 3.5 or 4 points right now. Very low line though. What do you think?
Yeah, for me, I'm going to take the Niners in the under here. The Chicago looked completely lost on offense last week. Matt Nagy has been game prepping from a bunker or something. I guess he won't tell people where he is, which is weird because he has COVID. Hopefully he'll be good to go by the time the game rolls around for the Bears. But I don't know how Chicago scores in this game. So I'm going to take the Niners and I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to go with the Niners as well. I think the Niners are going to be able to successfully run. I like Elijah Mitchell this week. Again, I like him in some of the player props. If you guys want to check out the prop sheet, or you can listen to Bet This League. I know you say you don't know where they're going to score. My only problem with this is the 49ers have done this a couple times where the Eagles one was unique, where that one was a complete under. But the Niners have let teams get back in the second half. They've also been, they showed early on some slow starts, yet this past week they were kind of a quick starter. That I do think that they're going to dump a couple points on. And I think we could have two, you know, maybe one first half touchdown, one second half touchdown, even if there's a mistake. Because guess what? Jimmy Garoppolo makes mistakes, and he can easily throw a pick in this one, where I think the 49ers are going to put up probably somewhere between 24 and 27 points. And if I think they're going to score a touchdown or two on the Bears side, I'm actually going to hit the over, because it's such a low number. Wouldn't even be afraid to maybe tease that a little bit. You know, if you really want to play around, you could tease that down to like 33 points if you have any trust that the Bears can score whatsoever. So I'm going to take San Francisco, and I'm going to take the over. I think we got time for one more. This is one of the especially the early line was really fun to bet. It's getting a little bit dicey, but Cincinnati at the Jets. Cincinnati is a 10.5 point favorite. 42.5 is the line. I have seen everybody, and I don't disagree, not care what the line is in this one, because I think Matt White is the quarterback for the Jets. Regardless, heavy money on Mike White. Cincinnati, the under is in play, because I don't think anyone thinks the Jets are going to score whatsoever. The line, as far as the cash I'm looking here, is the same one on the site we look at, that it's actually moved a little bit, not dominant in favor of Cincinnati spread. I think people are taking that 10.5, but it's still the under. So what say you, too many points or no Cincy?
No, it's all Cincy here. I don't know why you take the Jets. I know this is a lot of points, but you're on a rookie Western Kentucky quarterback here right now in Mike White. So there's no way in hell I would take them. I think this is a terrible game for the Jets. I think the Bengals roll right over them, and I think they get the majority of this over by themselves. So I'm going to take the Bengals and the over, and this is one of the easiest games of the week to me.
Yeah, I think so too. I got them early at 9, and I think I placed a normal bet on them, and I think I may have also done a teaser one as well. They're like, if you want to look for a couple like just chalk tease plays just to put together, Cincinnati is one that you would throw in there. They're just one of those, especially if you're going to get extra points on it. You know, if not, it's going to ruin everybody's week, and it's going to ruin survivors and a lot of others. I think I also have the Bengals and a survivor pool. A big segment coming up, and we've got all the rest of the games. We've actually got like 7 games left on the slate. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us in this league. We roll on right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. Sports.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Grid.com.
It's in this league.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
in this league,
why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. That's right, it is in this league, and we are back. It is Bogman Welsh Week 8 picks. We roll on, because we got a big old slate of them, Bogman. And this might be the most against each other that we've been, by the way. Like, we are heavily not on the right side. I think the only over-under we agree on so far is Tennessee-Indianapolis. And we do have some other picks. We've got Philly, Cincy, San Francisco, Buffalo that we agree on. So those, as far as the spread goes, we agree. But our over-unders are all over the board. A little bit more dissent here. So we move on to the next game, which is the Rams at Houston, tied for the highest run of -14.5. Your over-under is 48.
You skipped a game here again.
Did I skip a game again?
Yeah. We haven't.
Oh, yeah, because I wrote it out. Well, let's finish this one, and then we'll come back to that one. I apologize. You're absolutely right. I did do that. I try not to fill them out on the sheet so I can follow along. But one of the biggest lines, it's kind of split because there's a hook involved there at 14.5. So you've got some Houston bettors, which I'll actually tell you when you put this out, is a little bit favor in Houston. Over was dominant where the money was. As I'm currently looking at this, it's the same line. It is dominant under, and it's still, as far as spread goes, a slight cash favorite in favor of Houston, but the tickets are much more in favor of the Rams currently. So how do you do, Boggs?
Look, I'm taking the Rams again. I know they let us down against Detroit last week, but I think that's why I'm going to be taking the Rams here, is because I think they underestimated the Lions a little bit and went, you know, and obviously they didn't beat the spread. And the Lions also pulled out every single stop they possibly could, right? They onside kicks. They went for it, you know, on fake punts and all that stuff. So they still couldn't beat the Rams. So I think that Rams are going to go into this game and go, all right, well, we overlooked Detroit. There's no way we can overlook Houston. I think they're going to beat them into the ground. I think this game goes over as well. The 48, I think the Rams get most of it. So, but like a 35-14 game goes over. So I think that's what we're looking at here. So give me LA and give me the over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely LA here. There was a part of me, so even with that hook, there was a part of me that would have been tempted with Houston. Like, you know,
you don't typically like the double digit lines, but this week it's like Cincinnati and LA, you kind of have to take them.
Yeah, well, also because the sell-off has started. I think there's a lot of dissent in that locker room. Brandon Cooks is pissed. If Tyrod Taylor were back and everything were normal and, you know, these trade rumors were out, I don't know. There might have been something where I feel like they might have played up. Maybe the Rams possibly played down. But I think there's too much bullcrap going on there. I don't care about that 14.5. The line is where I'm screwed, and I'm going to go with the under on it because this just might end at 35-7, and that doesn't get us there. I don't see Houston doing a whole lot. You know, their running back situation has changed. But we've seen Houston screw with people, so I'm not surprised people are jumping on it, but I'd rather not. Like, regardless of these double-digit lines with the Jets and Houston, Cincinnati and the Rams are not the teams where I'm going to play that with, especially this week. So I'm going to go with the Rams with you, but again, in our trending here of one of us is going to be amazing at over-unders and one is going to be brutal.
Nah, we'll both split. Come on.
Yeah, or we'll just split it, I suppose. Yeah, I'm going to take the under as you were taking the over. So jumping back up, because I did skip this game, Philly at Detroit. Philly is a 3.5-point favorite. Over-under is 48. It's semi-split on where they want to go with the spread. A little bit of the money's on Philly, but the over is the overwhelming favorite. And nothing has really changed on that front, though. Oh, you know what? Actually, I can tell you this, Box. The cash has actually changed in favor of Detroit now.
Okay.
At 3.5. The over is where overwhelming money is. So, but the cash has moved into Detroit's side as we're recording this.
Look, I'm taking Philly in the under here. And I think Philly is the easy pick just because Detroit has been so miserable. Nobody's going to take them, right? So no one's surprised by that. The reason I'm taking the under is because I think this is the point of the season where you start to see a team like Detroit, you know, give up a little bit. And they just threw out everything they possibly could against the Rams. We're just talking about it, you know, during the Rams game. Threw out everything they possibly could. They went for it on a couple force. They, you know, went for fake punts. They onside kicked. And they still got their ass kicked by the Rams, right? So they beat the spread, but that's not a real victory in the NFL. They don't care about the spread in the actual games. They care about winning, and they didn't. So I think this is where you start to see Detroit get defeated. We saw that the last time. I can't remember who they played, but they played somebody real hard and then got destroyed by Chicago, right? So it's just one of those games where you have a letdown after you played so hard and put it all out on the line and still ended up losing. So I'm going to take Philly, and I don't think Detroit scores a bunch, so I'll take the under.
I actually like that Philly line. This would be one of those ones I might be a little bit more comfortable with. Though I will tell you, there's a lot that's works not in favor. Philly's only 3-4 against the spread so far this year, and Detroit is 4-3 against the spread. But I don't like Detroit at all in this one. But my problem with Detroit is you see them score some of those late points. They play hard. They get weird with teams. But what do you think their over-under is, their record?
I think they play to unders most of the time, don't they?
Yeah, that's actually like I would have assumed it's not this bad. They're only 2-5 on the
What under. About Philly? I think Philly plays towards the under too.
3-4. So it's both on that side. So I get it. I'm gonna pivot off of it. I'm gonna go with the over, but I don't feel comfortable about that because of what I just laid out to you. I'm gonna go with the over because I think DeAndre Swift is moving into a territory of waiting to explode. I don't think Philly's defense plays pretty tough though, man. You know what?
Go to the under. It's not written in stone, dude.
I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it.
You just talked yourself into it, and that's fine.
I talked myself into it. I feel great about Philly at 3.5 because Philly's defense, and that what did it was as soon as I went to thinking about Philly's defense, I just don't see where Detroit is going to go nuts with it. I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a decent day. It's a great matchup for Philly wide receivers, by the way, so Devontae Smith might be in a good spot. So yeah, I will flip, and I will go Philly minus 3.5 with the under. Let's see. Ooh, we're going to have to start zooms here, Boggs. We still got five. Jacksonville at Seattle. Seattle minus 344.5 is the number.
Look, I'll say this. Just stay the hell away from this game. But I did not like what I saw from Seattle the last couple weeks with Geno. So I'm going to take Jacksonville and take the points here. I'll take the over. Don't particularly care for this game on either side. But I do think that Jacksonville is going to, you know, put up some points coming off a bye. And that's why I'm going to pick them in this game. And they don't have to win, but if this game comes down to a field goal, you at least get the push. So I'll take Jacksonville.
Seattle at home is always tough for me, but did I see it right? Is Seattle 0-3 at home this year?
I mean, they've been bad. Yeah.
I think they have.
You know, Russ got hurt in that game against the Rams. No, they played Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, so...
Yeah, I think, I don't want to waste time here. As I just said, we needed to go. They are 0-3 at home, which is unbelievable to me. They could continue the streak. I just, like Geno is not great, but he can be efficient. They got great receivers that they just moved off of. Jacksonville coming off the bye is very, very interesting, but I just don't believe in them as a team. And I don't believe going, Seattle is a tough place to play regardless of the wins, loss. This is more in favor of Jacksonville and the over. I'm going to take Seattle in the over. New England at the Chargers. Chargers are a 4.5-point favorite coming off of a bye. 48.5 is the line, Bugs. People like the Chargers and they really like the under. And that's where I'm going with it. I'm going to play the under because this is New England. And, you know, New England is purely the play here. The Chargers can play absolutely dominant ball. And I'm a little torn to wonder if New England's offense is going to sputter them a little bit, but you're coming off of a bye. I think Mike Williams is going to have a big day. They're going to be hyper-focused on Keenan Allen. So I'm going to take those 4.5 points, and it's in LA, by the way. I'm going to take the Chargers, be a square, I guess, but I'm going to also take the under.
Yeah, the Chargers are a weird team, right? I mean, they got crushed by Baltimore going into this bye, so, you know, they didn't get a lot of time off as they hoped they would. So I think they straighten out that stuff. They're at home. Extra week to rest up. I'm going to take the Chargers. I'll go with the under as well. I don't think New England puts up a ton of points here.
Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Tampa's a 5.5-point favorite on the road, 49.5. And boy, everybody likes Tampa in the over, Boggs, big time.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tampa in the under. I just, what we saw from Jameis last week and knowing the strength of that team is Alvin Kamara, what are they going to do with him? Right? Like, and Jameis, his time to throw is seventh worst in the NFL among starters. It's third highest, and you have JPP and Shaq Barrett bearing down on you. I'm going to take Tampa Bay easy, and I'm more comfortable with the under than I am the over in this game. We've also seen Tampa Bay start running with Fournette more, so I think that's going to trend towards the under too.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on the under because I just don't know how well Jameis can pivot. He showed he can't. And I think this team can hyper-focus because they're not going to be able to run with Kamara. I just don't think they're going to be run super successful with him.
They could throw it to him. But yeah, I mean, you know, the main thing in your offense is running the ball with Kamara.
So. Yeah, and I'm going to stay with you here. I'm going to go with Tampa, and I'm going to go with the under. So I'm playing ball here. Washington at Denver. Denver is minus 3, 44.5 is the under, or is the over-under line. Washington looks like the more predominant money favorite as we're recording this. So let me take a look at what has changed. Now it's about the same. And though the one thing that has changed is this showed a really decent push on the over. It's now turned the opposite direction where there is a lot more cash on the under.
I'm going to take the over in this game because I just think both these defenses are way overrated, specifically Washington. watching some of the worst pass defense in the NFL. I hated what I saw from Teddy Bridgewater on Thursday Night Football last week, but I'm going to assume that he's way more recovered after playing on Thursday night this week and able to rock. And look, Washington cannot stop the pass at all. They just can't. So I take Denver and a pretty easy over for me in this one too.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I think Teddy is coming off of a rough start. They get Jerry Jeudy back. Both running backs have been really good this year. Washington's defense is just atrocious. I really don't know who they are. This is in Denver. I'll take those 3 points right now. The over-under, I don't feel as confident about. I will take the over. Kind of what you said. I think Denver's going to be able to score points. Washington is big play offense in general that, you know, 44.5 isn't enough for me to shy away. Don't know if I love this game, but if I had to pick one, I do like Denver more than I like the over-under. I think we have time at least to get to one more. We've only got two more anyways. Dallas at Minnesota. I think this is the highest over-under of the week at 55. Dallas favored by 1.5 on the road. Over seems to be the money play, as you wrote this, and Minnesota was where the cash was going. The update is about the same. It just actually moved more in favor of the over in Minnesota a little bit.
Right. So I'm going to caveat this one, and I know that's not what you guys want to hear, but Dak plays, Dallas in the over, easy for me. There's a little question about Dak playing. He today on Thursday said, well, I feel good, but it's not up to me, which makes me feel weird about it. So I'll take Dallas in the over as long as Dak plays. If Dak doesn't play, Minnesota in the under, easy.
I think Dallas is a supremely talented team. Minnesota is kind of Jekyll and Hyde for me. Yeah, Jack, I heard the same thing. Is kind of Jekyll and Hyde where I just don't know who they're going to be. I actually kind of like one of the props I love is Justin Jefferson longest reception in this game. I just don't know who Minnesota is going to come out and be. Dallas's defense can be a little bit wonky at times, but Dallas's offense is just studly, and I think they're going to do business on it. The over is pretty high, but I just don't see how it goes any under. This seems like a potential shootout game, so I'm going to go with the over. I'm also going to take Dallas. It's a little points here. It gets me a field goal. I feel better about it. One game left. It's a Monday night game, and we will do it after this break right here in this league.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
It is the ITL. It's ITL Boys in this league.
ITL Boys.
ITL Boys. Someday we'll have that rejoin and we have the whole setup. We need. I mean, we have an actual musical crew now. We might have to have our boy Jack recreate that as a nice parody song, but we might need us doing the vocals or something. But ITL Boys in the future, look out for it. We got one final game on our week 8 slate here, and it's a Monday game. Giants at Kansas City. Kansas City is a 10-point favorite. 52.5 is the line. Kansas City, absolute stinker they put together. You would think the money would be more on Kansas City. It's not. It is just barely in favor. You got to think that they're going to do better. And here's an interesting one. Crazy when you put the sheet together, money on the under, it is now flipped to a pretty decent sizable cash is going on the over. So they really think the Giants are going to put some points up on the Chiefs. So what do you think?
I've got the Giants on this one. I'm going to take the under too. I don't like what we've seen from this offense in Kansas City recently, with a lot of turnovers, and, you know, PFF specifically pointed out that Sam Monsoon, pointed out that, Pat Mahomes has been unbelievably lucky in his turnover worthy plays. And this year he's unbelievably unlucky. So it's, you know, kind of flipped for him. So I'm going to take the Giants I'll take the points in this one, and I'm going to take the under as well because I don't think they're going to score much, and I don't think Kansas City is either. So give me the Giants in the under.
Yeah, this is a little bit convoluted. I don't think I'm going to get both of these right, and because I think they kind of counteract each other a little bit, where if I take Kansas City by 10 and you play the under, like what? I mean, this could it could still be a 35-10 game, and that hits the under, and you can still play that. I just have a hard time, but this doesn't work great for gambling. And this is why something I don't really know how much I'm going to touch this. I'll probably be more in player props or, you know, if I start to feel more comfortable about the over under, I'm going to play the under, which that might be a little bit more of my bet, but I'm going to take Kansas City. I just have a hard time believing that they can be this bad and that they're not going to be able to exploit that defense with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And I think it's got to be a sledgehammer game. Like they need to lay down the gauntlet, and I think they will lay down the gauntlet. So I'll take Kansas City. You missed any of the picks? Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to all of them. I step away, but Bubba comes in. He tags in. It's Bubba and Bogman, hour 3. Don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up right after this.